Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it's a pleasure to welcome two people into our studio. A little unusual for conducting conversations during the pandemic, but we've socially distanced as far as possible here within our beautiful studios in downtown Exeter. And we're pleased to welcome Alyssa Wybranek from the Coast Guard House. She has some expertise in the area of wine, which I don't have any expertise at all. So Alyssa is going to fill us in on some of the things that are happening at the Coast Guard House. This is kind of a follow-up of a show we did just a few weeks ago with Bob Leonard and the co-owner of the restaurant. And I thought it'd be fun to bring Alyssa in and to ask somewhat intelligent questions. I've gone to great expense to bring in Gail Jensik. And some of you that have listened to the program for a while, Gail has been on a few times over the past almost 20 years. And her expertise in wine is greater than mine because, as far as I'm concerned, it's either pink or not. That's about it. But Gail knows a little bit about wine. She is also happens to be my wife, and so it wasn't that expensive to get her here. I guess I'll have to treat her to dinner at the Coast Guard House. But first off, Alyssa, welcome. Nice to have you with us.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
It's always nice to see you again. We actually did some commercial work for the restaurant a few years ago. That's when I first met you, probably 7 or 8 years ago now. I don't know.
Wow.
It was a while ago. But glad to have you back. And you are the wine director. Is that the correct title?
That is one of the hats, the primary hat that I do wear, yes.
Okay, so wine director of the Coast Guard House restaurant located in Narragansett. And Gail, what I feel like I'm on My Cousin Vinny now. What qualifies you to be an expert in the area of wine? You should say, my father drank wine, my grandfather
drank wine. Nothing really, except that I do enjoy learning about wine. I've gone to lots of wine tastings in vineyards around the world when I'm traveling for work. I've always found it very fascinating, and learning about why different climates, different soils, different environments, the water, change the outcome of that particular product and how different areas of the United States, of other countries, produce certain wines for those kinds of reasons.
Excellent. All right. Well, we'll take advantage of all of that. Alyssa, let's get to some particulars about the restaurant itself. And it's been around for a number of years. How long have you been involved with the business?
I've been there since 2014 in a full-time capacity.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
So a few years now. You're mm-hmm. You're no longer a newbie. You've been there for a while. And the restaurant's gone through some changes, as we talked about with Bob. Various, unfortunately, storms over the years have changed the actual physical structure, but it survived, and it's doing pretty well. The summer went pretty well for you, even though it was pandemic time?
Yeah, we feel blessed that we were able to continue business despite what was going on. And mm-hmm. We're fortunate that where we are, people want to come see, and we execute at a high level. So
the other advantage, obviously, is that there's a pretty good-sized patio area and deck area, which during the nicer days helped out a lot, right?
It did, and we've, believe it or not, have been able to sustain a decent amount of people that are willing to brave the elements and come out and eat outside now, because we're going to keep it open as long as they keep coming. So
okay.
We've stacked it out there with 20 heaters. Now we have 8 additional fire pits on top of the 3 that we originally had. So Friday and Saturday night this weekend was very nice to see people coming out to sit on the patio. We're right. Turning into Europeans.
Yeah, there you
exactly.
go. So now that Thanksgiving is over and people are getting to what as the new normal, I guess, the Coast Guard House would be a great place to take advantage of some wonderful seating. And as the slogan goes, see friends, see food, see, what was the other C?
Sea view.
Sea view.
And of course now, see hope.
And see hope is the new one, right? That's what I talked about with Bob. All right, let's get to some wine things here and talk about the fact that the wine list is fairly extensive at the Coast Guard House. And is that something that you establish and you just keep it like I'm done now, or is it always changing?
No, I'm constantly curating the list, and it depends on what sells, what doesn't sell, what things I might move off the list to maybe do a glass option. That's kind of one of the, if you want to say, good things about what's going on now in the restaurant environment, because we're printing menus. We're not on a disposable level. I can change things up a lot more frequently as far as by the glass. Mm-hmm. So we've had some fun things on there that people are like, whoa, where did that come from? Well, it was on the bottle list and it's been there and I needed to move it off because people aren't really looking at the lists as much as they are looking at by the glass right now. That's kind of changed now since we've gotten to the middle of September. People are starting to ask for the wine list again. And it's opening up some more opportunities for our staff to talk to them about that. But I've had a Petite Mansang and Gros Mansang by the glass on the list. I'm going to be bringing on a Chardonnay from New Zealand that has been blinded with Burgundian Premier Cruz that tastes like you're drinking that. So fun stuff that people can come and enjoy. By the glass.
By the glass.
I have to come and enjoy that one.
There you go.
That's for sure.
Gail has actually worked in New Zealand and Australia quite a bit. And the wines from down there, do you find them up here, Gail? You know, the ones that you like down there, are they?
It's very challenging. The cost for some of those smaller vineyards to export is prohibitive. And so I keep a list of wines that I've found in other countries that I can enjoy when I get there. And if I find a wine from a vineyard that I know on someone's wine list, then I'm thrilled to get a glass to try.
Well, now you have to try that New Zealand
wine. I do, absolutely. That sounds really lovely.
Well, let's get a little mood music, if you will, into the show tonight. We're going to occasionally segue out to a piece of music to get Alyssa and Gail a chance to catch their breath. And what better song to go to than The Days of Wine and Roses?
Days of wine and roses.
Henry Mancini music to set the mood, and we have quite an interesting list of wine songs that I've found, although Alyssa did not come up with any of these herself, so we're going to kind of surprise her as we go along. But Gail, you and I were noticing on the menu, on the website, there's some awards that have been given, and talk about that.
Yeah, so I noticed that the Coast Guard House for 4 years in a row has received the Award of Excellence from Wine Spectator magazine, which is quite an achievement, I would think, and I'd like to know more about how that came to be. I know you have to have at least like 100 wines on hand at all times to be even be considered from one of the thousands of restaurants around the world that apply.
So when you're applying for that designation, I'll call it, or award or recognition, it does require you to curate, as you said, a certain amount of bottles and to be thoughtful with that and have a purpose behind it, and does it match your menu? So the criterion when you submit to the Wine Spectator is, of course, your list, and then they want to know more about that. How did your list come about? Why is it that way? What are your storage conditions? How much wine do you have on hand? How does it match with your menu? How committed are you to your program?
Wow.
So there's a lot to it. When you submit.
So this isn't like Luigi's Pizza House with the Boone's Farm wine. It doesn't qualify.
Yeah, they do want to know why. And I always find when you look at our list, and it is constantly changing, I started out very, very focused on American wines, in part because that's what people are comfortable with around here, and that's what they choose to go with. But then taking into consideration that we're kind of a seafood-slanted restaurant, so more lighter-bodied wines, although we do have a decent amount of Cabernets, because there's a lot of people that will drink Cabernet with whatever they're eating, and we never tell people that their own pairing is bad. It's what you like. It's not what we like. There's no rules that way. So we've been slowly diversifying with adding more Pinot Noir and Chardonnay from different countries because those are more complementary to our menu, but still keeping things that people are comfortable with as well.
Excellent. All right. I have some other questions. I'm sure Gail does. But we're going to go to another quick piece of music, and then we'll take a short break and be back with more. This is a piece of music that Gail and I selected from a friend of ours named Aoife Clancy. Some of you might remember the Clancy Brothers, which were very popular back in the 60s and 70s. And this is the daughter of Bobby Clancy. And we found a recording of Bobby and Aoife singing together and Kisses Sweeter Than Wine.
Oh, kisses sweeter than wine. Oh, kisses sweeter than wine. I was a young man and never been kissed. I got a thinking it over what I had missed. I got me a girl, I kissed her and then, but oh Lord, I kissed her again. Oh, kisses sweeter than wine. Oh, kisses sweeter than wine.
He asked me to marry, be his sweet wife. We would be happy all of our lives. He begged and he pleaded like a natural man. Oh Lord, I gave him my hand.
Oh, kisses sweeter than wine. Oh, kisses sweeter than wine. I worked mighty hard and so did my wife, working hand in hand to make a good life. Corn in the fields and wheat in the bin. I was, oh Lord, the father of twins. Oh, kisses sweeter than wine. Oh, kisses sweeter than wine.
Our children numbered just about four. They all had sweethearts knocking at the door. They all got married, didn't hesitate. I was, oh Lord, the grandmother of eight.
Oh, kisses sweeter than wine. sweeter than wine. Now we're old and ready to go.
We get to thinking what happened a long time ago.
We had a lot of kids and troubles and pain, but
oh Lord, we do it again.
Oh, kisses sweeter than wine. Oh, kisses sweeter than wine. Oh, kisses sweeter than wine.
The Coast Guard House Restaurant is the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and happy to be sitting with Gail Jensik, our resident wine expert, talking to Elisa Wybrennick, who is the wine director at the Coast Guard House Restaurant. And Gail has a myriad of questions about wine, and the reason we brought her in is because I don't know anything. But that's normally the position of where I am in these interviews. But I'm glad to have the two of them here discussing this. Elisa, first off, let's just tell people how to get to information on your website. If they want, they can look at the menu and they can find out lots of interesting things there. Is it a tough website to find?
No, it's not. It's thecoastguardhouse.com, and we have lots of information there. We have what our seasonal specials are posted there. So we do our Sunday, Monday prime time, which is a prime rib dinner special for $28.50. And then we're running today, after Thanksgiving, we do have on Tuesdays, for those that are interested, Vintage Tuesdays. Vintage Tuesdays is a recent undulation of our specials, and it's 30% off all bottles of wine.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a new addition. But it also gives you a little information about the team. It provides you a copy of the wine list, which is great because someone specifically this summer looked up our wine list, saw a bottle that is hard to find because it's very allocated, and came in and dine with us with that bottle of wine in mind.
You still had it, hopefully.
We still had it, yes. It was one of those ones that don't sell very frequently because it's a pretty high-priced bottle. So now,
I'm going to ask my neophyte question here. When you say high-priced bottle of wine, is that more than $5?
Ironically, somebody had provided us a menu from, oh God, I want to say like circa 1960s that I have and I need to get framed. And that was about the price back then for
really?
A bottle of wine.
But it's not that. It's not that anymore.
No, unfortunately.
Okay. All right, Gail, you had some questions that you wanted to ask. Go at it.
Yeah, so I noticed on your menu that, and I've seen this before when I order oysters, that the menu recommends a pairing of a particular champagne for the oysters, which I would enjoy, certainly. I would be interested in some wine pairings, and I know your staff is educated in this regard, for dishes that I might not ordinarily have. Normally, when I come to the Coast Guard House, I have seafood, of course, but I noticed that you have a pork shank meal, which I'm very intrigued by. What would you recommend if I were to ask, which I would, what should I drink with this dish?
So the beauty of pork is it's very versatile for a pairing, and you can definitely gravitate to a white. Oak Chardonnay would be lovely. That would be kind of, always a safe pairing. Chenin Blanc would be lovely with it. We do have an array of Chenin Blancs. One of them we do happen to have by the glass that would go nicely. I would also suggest a white from the Rhone if you were looking for something on our bottle list, like a Châteauneuf du Pape white. And then always rosé will be a nice pairing with the pork dish. And we actually have right now three different by-the-glass options for rosé, which is unusual, I know, this time of year especially. And then we also have by-the-bottle. And one that stands out to me in my mind is one from Provence, but it's not done in the typical style of Provence. It's from a grape called Tiburon. And it almost has a slight sherry note to it, which would be beautiful.
That would be lovely. Ooh.
Now, when you said from Provence, that's a region versus an actual, most of Provence is in France, as I recall. But isn't there some in Italy also?
I'm sorry, I lost where you were there. What did you say?
Well, when you said they were from Provence,
yes.
Right? And then that's a region versus it can be from France, can be from Italy, right? That's
right, exactly. So right. Provence would be in France. Say Tuscany would be in Italy. So it's a region that's a more like macro region. Then you can get more finite. When you're talking about these regions, like Bandol would be a more finite region than Provence in the south of France.
And that's the difference in climate that makes a difference in the grapes, which makes a difference in the wine.
Right. And what's grown there. Exactly.
See how much I know? Okay, I'm done now.
And so, Alyssa, if I come into the restaurant and had a question about a dish and what would be the most appropriate wine to eat, drink with it, rather, though, and enhance each other's flavors. Would anybody on your staff be able to assist in that? Or
Absolutely.
Or do we have to find you?
Do we have to find you?
No, we have a very well-versed staff. I actually teach classes of wine at Johnson & Wales and have had some of my staff actually take those classes. But also, I give classes more frequently, COVID. Now we do it occasionally, and I have to limit how many people come, but just to keep them up to speed. And usually when we have, before everybody goes on the floor for the night, we'll have a pre-meal and talk about, okay, tonight's special is, what do you think will go? And it won't be sometimes me that say what's the best pairing for tonight. I give confidence, or I pass the baton to the staff to say, okay, this, and I'll be like, yes. So that gives them confidence then to continue
Excellent.
That.
Yeah. Excellent.
All right. Well, I can't think of a singer that would be more appropriate to go with a nice meal at the Coast Guard House than perhaps Frank Sinatra. So we found a song that I'm not particularly familiar with that Frank did called Drinking Again. Has nothing particularly to do with wine, but it's, there we go. So listen to that and be back.
Drinking again and thinking of when you loved me, I'm having a few and wishing that you were here, making the rounds, accepting around from strangers, being a fool, just hoping that you'll appear. Sure, I can borrow a smoke, maybe tell some joker bad joke, but nobody laughs, they don't laugh at a broken heart. Same old story. After the kicks, there's little old mixed up me. Trying to lose a dream that used to be. Look look at me, I'm drinking again. Drinking all over town. Yeah, I'm drinking again.
Frank Sinatra singing Drinking Again. And speaking of drinking again, there wasn't a lot of wine mentioned in that song. Alyssa, I just want to touch on the fact that not only do you have wine at the Coast Guard House, but a full bar menu, correct?
We do, yes, yes.
So there's other things. Do you get involved in that portion of it, or are you strictly the wine person?
Every now and then I'll just suggest, I'll put my candidate up for election, so to speak.
Okay. Is it like specialty drinks and things like
that? Yeah, yeah. Right. So I'll come up with, you know, it's usually something that's outside of the normal comfort zone of people. But the manager, Fred, that puts that together does a great job. So.
Okay. And I see on the menu that you have a lot of local spirits from Rhode Island. I enjoy Kiel Vodka because it's so light. And I was delighted to find that on the menu and have a Kiel Vodka martini. So it's nice to support the local.
Always to have partnerships with our local Sons of Liberty as well.
Right, Sons of Liberty, yeah.
Newport Craft Spirits and things of that nature. And, of course, the whole brew culture. You know, we have so many local breweries that are represented on our menu as well. So
nice to see.
Okay. Now, if someone like me were to come into the restaurant and say, look, I don't know anything. What should I be doing here? You can be as basic as that, right? You can just say, give this a shot. We think you'll like it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we do.
There's no dumb questions.
Right? No. And we always like to, if somebody comes and the server comes, it's like, oh, there's a guest who's looking for something that's fruity with smooth tannins on a red wine. I'll say, well, give them A and give them B, but don't tell them what A and B is. So it's like a little sample pour. So they don't have already this notion in their mind that they're going to not like it because it's labeled X. Mm-hmm. So they'll try it. And, sometimes we'll give them exactly what they described as say prototype A, and then prototype B would be something that
slightly different
or mm-hmm. what I really think they might mean or what the server may think they really might mean, and it's surprising how many times they may go for the B as opposed to the A.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. I guess that's the way to figure all out. Gail, you had one other subject that you wanted to touch on, I think.
Yes. So I know, Alyssa, that you're a sommelier.
I am.
And which I find very impressive. And I'd like to know a little bit about the process that you had to go through. I'm assuming it was like going to the College of Wine to get that that distinction. So can you tell us a little bit about that process?
Sure. Being in the program with the quartermaster sommeliers, it requires self-motivation because they basically give you a syllabus with no backup material, so to speak, for you to know what you need to know. So you have to be extremely focused on kind of deciphering and studying at a rate that you feel is going to get you, first of all, to pass the initial course.
They give you a little step one, step two, step three.
Well, they do have an intro course that kind of gives you the basics of what you're going to need to know, how you taste. You join tasting groups. And then they say, okay, this is, the next test, you're going to need to know X. You know, use this book. But there's no, like, lesson plan, I guess maybe is a better way to say it, mm-hmm. to go through the process. So that's, part of the thing that might be more difficult for people that are not as focused. I've also gone through the Certified Specialist of Wine program, which is a Society of Wine Educators, which does have like a lesson plan. And then also the Wine and Spirits Education Trust out of England, which is definitely academic. You know, they give you, and that's what I'm currently teaching at Johnson & Wales, and it has four levels, and the fourth level being diploma is the most difficult. And again, it's all this knowledge that is now directed to you in lesson plans on what you need to know at that point. So. But it's a lot of studying.
And did you have a science background before you started that process?
I did not. I have a finance degree.
Oh, well, so that kind of really specific thinking would work to your advantage, I would guess.
Science would definitely, especially from the chemistry standpoint of
right.
wine, would be huge, or and even into the geologies and the soil, you know, thinking of science. But there's always this kind of correlation with people who are in the finance field that eventually end up in wine. After.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it does happen.
Now, there are things in some wines, I'm presuming, that that aren't obvious to people. And I'm bringing this up because Gail has some allergies to certain things. And if someone's interested in what's actually in the wine, for example, she can't do pineapple, and she can't do, you know, things like that. So how much is known about what goes into the wine? Is it always just grapes? Is there ever a blend? Or I'm asking a dumb question.
No, well, when you're making wine, it is, you know, there is some manipulation depending on what the stylistic goal of the winemaker is. But, you know, it's grapes and yeast and then some other friends that you may or may not want in there, which are all, you know, biological, naturally occurring things.
Okay.
So, you know, you can have some things that create things that you don't want, like histamines, which can cause allergies.
Right.
So,
yes.
And that's more prevalent in red wine as a precursor from the actions of bacteria. So it's, you know, we can go really deep on that if
okay.
you want.
Okay. No, that wasn't, no. I didn't know if there was ever something that is added to, you know.
I think my question might be like if the wine is described as having pineapple notes or citrus notes, is there actually lemon in the wine or pineapple in the wine?
There is not. What it more is a compound that is acting like what mm-hmm. an actual lemon.
Okay.
So in a chemical standpoint, like a benzene ring, that would be mimicking what a real lemon is like.
So. Right. I learned that coming in backwards mm-hmm. because I asked that same question years ago mm-hmm. because of that concern. And the woman who was doing the tasting at this vineyard explained exactly that to me, not quite that succinctly, but she was more conversational, mm-hmm. as was her job. But I was like, oh, well, that's good to know, you know. And but I will still have some of the same reactions because my body's sensitive to something.
All right.
And they do have, yeast can help create those flavors and aromas that you had mentioned as well. So
we'll get to that and much more in the last segment. But right now we're going to go out with a... Since we heard from Frank Sinatra, it's only a fitting that we go to Dean Martin when you think about drinking. So a little That's Amore, and we'll be back.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they say.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitarandella. When the stars make you drool, just like a pastifazool, that's amore. When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
That's amore.
Bells will ring,
ting-a-ling-a-ling,
ting-a-ling-a-ling,
and you'll sing Vita Bella.
Vita Bella, Vita Bella. Hearts will play,
tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a gay tarantella.
lucky fella. When the stars make you drool just like pasta frazzle, that's amore.
That's amore.
When you dance down the street with the cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signore. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
Amore,
that's amore.
Wine that's available at the Coast Guard House restaurant is the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and sitting with Alyssa and Gail, talking about all the things that happen at the Coast Guard House as far as wine is concerned. And I just want to make sure that everyone that's listening knows that the Coast Guard House has availability of a takeout menu, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
During this pandemic time, it's thecoastguardhouse.com. So the website's very easy to find. And what are the hours, Alyssa?
We're open 7 days a week right now. We open at 11:30 for lunch, and then we're basically open till 10 Monday through Thursday and 10:30 Friday and Saturday based on the current environment we're in.
Have you made arrangements yet for Christmas? Do you know what that's going to be? Are you open Christmas Eve, or do you close early, I guess, probably?
Actually, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day are the 2 days we are closed.
Okay.
Out of the 365 that we all go through every year.
Well, then enjoy. But then you'll be right back again for the first of the year. We mentioned outside dining is going to go as long as it possibly can. And one of the things that Bob mentioned, Bob Leonard, when he was here, intrigued me, and that's a candlelight dining experience. Tell us about that.
We have a very talented designer that comes in, and she stages the restaurants with candles and then a theme behind the candles. And we have a lot of candles. If I were to tell you how many, I would be just estimating, but hundreds of candles. And we make it so the lights are not there, except for in the bar area, because the bartender needs them. And it just creates this magical environment for diners to come in. Everybody who comes in said, it's so romantic, it's so warm, it's so inviting. So we typically just run it on Tuesdays. And then when we started to launch in October, we decided to do Monday and Tuesdays due to the limited capacity. And now that we're going to be in a even further reduced capacity indoors, we're going to extend it from December 7th until the 23rd. So everybody would get the opportunity to come in and enjoy the evening for candlelight
night. So this will be every night.
Every night, yes.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, and I know people say, oh, it's a lot of work. Yes, it is a lot of work, because there's water involved with the candles, there's changing the candles, but it's well worth it, because the feedback from guests just makes it worthwhile.
I would have to say to the three people that are out there that have not been to the Coast Guard House in southern New England, you should get there. Now, there might be more than that, but at any rate, it's a beautiful, beautiful spot. It's right sitting. You can't get any closer to the ocean. It's just a wonderful dining experience. The food is unbelievably good. And these two people are telling me the wines are pretty good, too. So I can't give you firsthand knowledge on that. But Gail can.
Yes.
Because normally when we go out, you know, we'll go to a nice restaurant. The bar portion of the bill is just as big as the food portion.
Often,
and I don't drink. You had a question.
I do, if you don't mind. So I see on the menu that you have a branzino with roasted potatoes and mushrooms and white wine butter sauce. What would you recommend to me if I have only had branzino a couple of times? What would you recommend that I consider for that dish?
With that preparation, there's a few things that we can take a look at. I would kind of steer away from red wines in this case, but rosé going back to the rosé. Yeah. It's kind of a compromise if someone's looking for a red pairing with it, but doing a rosé and, again, going towards that sherry style would be very nice, or something that's not as fruity, like the Sicilian Nerello Mascalisi we have by the glass, which would be nice because it has a brininess to it that I think would go nicely with that. I also then go to a white wine, a Pinot Gris, what's maybe just slightly off dry, would be, I think, a very nice...
That sounds, yeah.
Yeah, with that. And, of course, Chardonnay is always, again, that's a go-to for most people on that dish when they do come into the restaurants. I also would stay away from probably Sauvignon Blanc. It's going to compete too much with it. But we do have a Grenache Blanc that would be nice, that has some body to it from a organic producer out in California. So that would also be a very nice option to go with it.
Thanks.
Do the prices of wine depend on location or age mostly? Or what causes a bottle of wine to go from $25 to $100? Is that an easily answered question?
It could be fairly straightforward. Reputation could be one of the reasons. The cost of the land always can play in. The cost of the winemaking. A new French oak barrel is anywhere from $1,500 to $2,500 to $5,000, depending on who the cooperage is. So that kind of weighs into the whole equation. But you can also find, you know, a bottle that may be only $25, but it's value in how it's made or quality can be more reflective of something that may be $75 or $100. So,
now, as wine experts such as yourselves, is there a reason to not drink American wines over a French wine or over something that, when they call, you know, wine snobs, is the old term that I used to hear? Is that still something, or is that leveled out now?
No, I find that it's more a preference of style of why somebody would choose France over California, because there is definitely a distinction in the style of wines, which the U.S. tends to be more fruity forward, where the European wines are not so much. But there's always exceptions to the rule because winemaking is an art.
Right.
Yeah, I guess it's also a situation where your personal preference, if you know, like... There's nothing like Buy USA, right, involved as far as wine is concerned.
I enjoy a Sangiovese, but I'm never entirely sure what to eat with it that will complement the nice Sangiovese.
Sangiovese is one of those grapes that I find that it would go well with a pork dish. That's one place that you can place it. I also, of course, you know, when you think of Sangiovese and it's where it's from, you can definitely put it with a red meat or even getting into the pastas, but pasta that tends to have a more of a tomato base than something that may be from, you know, a cream base in the northern part of Italy. But again, it's all a matter of personal preference. I do find that Sangiovese, we have Sangiovese from obviously Italy and Tuscany, but we also have a Sangiovese from California, and they're very, very different when you taste them. The Sangiovese in California is much more fruity, and the tannins is blended. They tend to be blended here in the U.S., so that the tannins are not, say, as tactile as well as when you get something from Italy.
Thanks. Yes, that's very interesting to me.
So the wines that are available can be talked about by most of your staff. Everyone is well educated in that. That's part of your job, educating the staff to that, right? And so there's is there any kind of test that a server has to pass?
We do spot every now and then, but you know, they're pretty enthusiastic about it, and I know that I have kind of succeeded in my quest to build the enthusiasm. And when you build enthusiasm, it comes natural. They want to learn. When they're talking about pre-COVID, going out to dinner with one another and what bottles of wine they're going to get, or that they're meeting at somebody's house and what bottles of wine they're going to bring. Mm-hmm. So when I hear that, I know that I've created an environment of learning in general, just because they're enthusiastic about it.
That's amazing. And first off, I thank Bob for doing what he does as far as being a Southern New England institution and bringing the restaurant and keeping the quality for all of us to enjoy. And I want to do the same to you for thank you for what you're doing to keep the industry, as it will, at the top, and a place in Rhode Island where a lot of people can go and enjoy a high level meal and without breaking the bank. It's reasonably priced. I don't want to give the impression that it's too far out of line, but you can certainly go online, check out the menu by going to the website. You have other social media presence also?
We have a very large Facebook presence, the Coast Guard House Restaurant, and we also have an Instagram account, of course, Coast Guard House Restaurant. So we're constantly posting pictures on what's going on and little descriptions. When we were closed for COVID initially, we had a whole kind of thing on our team members and their personal lives and some interesting facts about them, because we all come from very different backgrounds. We have a college wrestler on staff. That's one of our managers.
Wow, there you go. And for anyone that's listening that might want to do it the old-fashioned way and call for a reservation, do you know the phone number off the top of your head?
Yes, 401-789-0700.
789-0700?
Yes.
All right, that's easy enough to remember. And thecoastguardhouse.com is the website. Alyssa, I want to thank you so much for coming in tonight and explaining this. It seems like you and Gail could go on for hours, but you'll have to do that at the restaurant. Gail, thanks for being here and throwing your 2 cents in. And to the rest of you, we'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations.
Candy apple lips so red, lips that I've made mine. One look at you and I knew, honey on the vine. Sugar in my coffee cup, sweetness in my wine. Can't compare with love you share, honey on the vine. When you walk in my front door, the lemon tree cries. It can't compare with the love you've got, sweet honey on the vine. Take a walk down Lover's Lane, your hand holding mine. Getting my honey on the vine. When you walk in my front door, the lemon tree cries. It can't compare with love you've got, sweet honey on the vine. Take a walk down Lover's Lane, your hand holding mine. I think I'll die getting my honey on the vine. Think I'll die getting my honey on the vine. Think I'll die.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.